Alrighty, this is the Florida Go to God's First Fellowship. It's 8:53. I normally try to start it at 7, but some of you might be aware and some of you might not be aware. I got some things going on, and they're not actually worth talking about. The only thing that needs to be said is I'm moving forward, just period, end of sentence, and that's all there is to it. And so God is good. If you guys knew my story, and some of you know just a little bit of it, just a little bit, God has delivered me constantly out of situations and circumstances. So this to me is like, okay, Father, go ahead and do what you do. It's kind of like being in the fire service, and I was telling Gabriella today about it, and I haven't had a lot of sleep over the last I would say let me look at the calendar while I'm here. Let me see. Uh, 17 days. I've been running on, pure, just the way you do when you work at the firehouse, which, you know, we talk a lot about patterns and paradigms. And so that's an easy one. That's the go-to, the easy kick-in. The easy kick in to go to. Now, is that old man nature? Or is that, what I think it is just a pattern, a paradigm. Is it a good one? Well, if you're working in the firehouse, you better be able to, handle seeing things that, and feeling things or not feeling things, that, you know, other people around you are going through. And so anyway, so I kicked into that. You know, it's the interesting thing also, you know, that some of you might not be aware is they had an earthquake, a 7.4 earthquake in Colombia. The president of Colombia, Presidente, he just got sworn in either yesterday in Cali, which I don't know if you know anything about Colombia. I'll just give you a little bit of a history real quick. There's three main cities. You got Bogota, the capital. You've got Medellin, which actually feeds, but Bogota is so high up, that they call it the refrigerator, because it is cold. It's like 8,500 feet in the air. Now, Medellin, Colombia is that when you land in Rio Negro, it's beautiful little airport. It's not a little airport, but when you land there in Rio Negro, it's at 7,500. So the weather is just spectacular. I mean, absolutely amazing. Now, on the way down from the airport, from Rio Negro, you pass all these different communities, and then you end up in Medellin, and then, of course, they have all these different neighborhoods. There's nothing new under the sun. It's not any different than where you're at now. Say I'm in here in St. John's County, happens to be a county. There's St. Augustine, 10 miles away. There's Hastings, another 5 miles away. There's up north, there's the great city of Jacksonville, and then it breaks down into neighborhoods. So it's the same thing, really. But anyway, Medellin, Colombia actually feeds probably at least at minimum 3/4 of the population of Colombia, and a lot of the rest of the places down in South America. Now, obviously, Latin America, you got Nicaragua, you got El Salvador, you got Belize, you got Panama, Costa Rica, Panama used to be part of Colombia, by the way, and this country offered them $12 million to, at the time, $12 million. They turned it down. They offered, Americans offered it again. They turned it down. So then, the politics does what they do best. They just took it and they made it into the country of Panama. But there's really, it's really used to be part of Colombia. And then it's connected to Costa Rica, and then you just go on from there. But anyway, so let's look at this spiritually, what's going on, okay? Just look at everything in life is spiritual, absolutely everything. And so I didn't mean to get on and get, you know, act like, hey, I'm Mr. History and I know everything. No, I got so much to learn, and that's the thing. I love learning. I love but I used to just love learning without application. So that I think there's a place in God's Word that talks about an empty cloud. You know, and I see that empty cloud full of knowledge, but it's not raining it anywhere. It's not giving it off anywhere. You know, it's not, it's that empty cloud is just floating around. Well, that was me for years until I found GraceLoveAndTruth.com and until I found this group. And whoever's listening to this, I actually had a couple of people that were that are potential laborers that said they wanted to come on. They're all young guys. They're absolutely tremendous. Nick, my lawn guy, and his friend. I met his friend today on my way out of work. I introduced myself, and so anyway, then Nick's mother, who unfortunately her husband passed away about a year ago, and so. Nick has a lot of adopted, brothers, so me and him connected right off the bat with that. His mother adopted them. They have three, quote, natural siblings and another six adopted. So a total of nine, people. Wonderful, wonderful family. But if you think about it for a second, think about the first century church. How did the first century church move? You know? And that's what we're in the middle of doing right now. You know, through Sanjay and through Lawrence, the man of God, we're being directed and guided into walking like the first century church. And I can see it really happening. I had somebody contact me today out of the blue and, you know, where is he at? He had sent me a YouTube on July 11th. I had never even opened it up because you know why? I'm not chasing anybody for this. Okay, if they want it, God will bring them to me. So he sent me this text message today. I won't tell you his name, but he's a really great guy with a tremendous heart. He goes, and I'm not saying this because he's talking about me, because again, it has nothing to do with us. It's God in Christ in man, okay? It's God in Christ in man. So he's talking about me. And I used to never do this, by the way. I would never promote myself, and I'm not doing that now. I would never say anything good about myself. I would always talk down about myself. Well, I've been taught by the man of God. I've been taught by God and the man of God to not do that, to have life and death in the power of the tongue, to speak positively about yourself, that you're able to direct your life through your words and actions, words. Now, you can be a hearer of the word, but what about a doer of the word? See, we just don't want to be hearers of the word, and that's what I've been for a long time. And I've got all this knowledge, and somebody will say something, and I'll say, hey, you know, look at me. Hey, look at me. I know this. You know, and leave them empty after that. Just like that cloud floating over. I've delivered nothing to them. You know, maybe I planted a seed. I don't know. Maybe one fell out of the cloud. Who the hell knows? You know, but I can tell you the way I'm walking now is absolutely spectacular. And it's the most challenging time of my entire life. Not because of the situation going on. The situation going on, I have absolute joy and absolute peace, and I know God has already showed me what's going on. The man of God knows because I went to him to double check. And I can't impress on you guys enough how the connecting is huge. If you want to grow, and you got to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Because a lot of us here think we are in the faith. We think we're believing. We think we're doing things. Well, what did God show Sanjay to say about God's calling card? It's signs, miracles, and wonders. That is God's calling card. And then obviously Lawrence let us know. It took me about three different Zoom fellowships to catch on to that one. Again, some of us are slower than others, and I'm going to stop saying that about myself because I am fast-tracked like a rocket, okay? So this is what the guy says. He goes about me. He goes, when I meditate about God, your living example of faithful believing often comes to my heart, and I'm so encouraged to do better in believing myself just by knowing of your faithfulness. Thank you. Now, that's a huge compliment coming from him because I placed myself under him at one point during the ministry and was humble and meek and would learn everything I could about God's word at the time, whatever we were being taught. What I did next was I went to God first and I spoke in tongues and I prayed. I took a little bit of time and then I sent him this back. I said, okay, send an email to graceloveandtruth.com. Tell Lawrence Tor, I said, to send you the link to our international Zoom meeting at 2 p.m. for this Thursday. Love you. I am growing in God's word like never before. God is answering my prayers, requests, and so much more. If you can do it, for me, you can, in other words, I'm talking about God. If God can do this for me, he can definitely do it for you currently. I have Gabriella over here and she's 21. She's flying off to Madrid, next week and she'll be there for school, for study abroad school. So if you want the desires of your heart, I'm telling you right now, go to the website, send an email to Lawrence Tor, and come on the fellowship and take a little listen and see what you think and go from there. Love you. And then I sent him that, and it looks like he read it. Now, it's going to be up to him to go to it, you know. It's not up to me. Hang on one second. Gabriella! And so, hang on a second, because Gabriella must be doing what a 21-year-old does, and I'm, as her father, I'm going to have to do what her father is until I can get her ass to Madrid.
Good. That's not the girl. That's
a Yorkshire Terrier Cookie. I think you guys have seen pictures of Cookie before. Okay, Cookie, lay down. And so she just wanted to be up on the couch and get in her normal position. She's looking for food. So anyway, I'm just going to continue to speak by the mouth of God. I didn't plan any of this. This is all coming from my Heavenly Father. But anyway, I checked in with a couple people that I know down there that used to run fellowship, down in Colombia. And obviously they were part of the group that we were part of. And I also had some issues with them, kind of just different issues, and it's all good, because, you know, why are we going to fight with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm supposed to be an imitator of my Heavenly Father, correct? So that's how I'm to walk, as an imitator of Him. What would He do, you know? Now, everybody takes a lot of this stuff, you know, out of context. Like, when Jesus Christ said, you know, turn the other cheek. Okay, now, if someone's attacking you physically, okay, do you think Do you think, and we are as Christ as is, we are as he is, correct? Okay? So when they were trying to throw Jesus Christ off the cliff, did he just turn the other cheek and say, yeah, go ahead? You know, because turn the other cheek could mean a whole bunch of different things, right? I'm sure he forgave them because he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But his time was not ready to be fulfilled, and he was walking by the Father. So remember, he did every single thing the Father told him to do. He said, it's not my will. I don't answer you. You know, these are not my words, he would say. These are my Father's words. Remember when he raised Lazarus after 4 days? I think he went and he said, hey, Father, the only reason I'm praying is to let them know that, you know, out loud is that it's you the one that's doing the raising. Something like that. You guys can look it up, and a lot of you know more God's word than I do, or ever will know, for that matter. The great thing is that we're all part of the body of Christ here, and we're moving in unison together. Okay. Forget about the world, what's going on. Like, for example, like, you know, currently where I work, you know, I just messaged Lawrence and let him know that, you know, currently where I work, we're going to be involved in the emergency operations down in Columbia because of the state of Florida having probably the most robust and most, tactically efficient emergency management system in the country, in the United States, because of all the earthquakes and hurricanes. Now, that's not to say that the other teams, like, say, California Task Force 4 or Michigan Task Force 7, and I'm talking, you'll hear it on the TV called Urban Search and Rescue Teams. So, anytime an earthquake or anytime a building collapse or anytime a flooding, anytime of a hurricane, and of course we're all spun up here, and I've been in the fire service for a long time, so it's kind of like second nature. I'm able to kick right into that mode, and then of course with the current situation that I'm involved, I was already kicked into the mode. Okay, what mode that is, you know, 2-3 hours of sleep, up and moving and doing things. 2-3 hours of sleep, up and moving until you wear yourself out and then hit the rack. Is it best for your health? No. But I'm starting to get back into a rhythm, but now with this, current earthquake, depending on where they, place me, you know, in reference to my age, obviously, I'm not going there. They're going to send all the younger urban search and rescue teams from here, from all over different states, New Jersey, Miami, Tampa, Orlando, Nevada, California. All these different teams are going to be going down there. And they always hold enough in reserve so that in case something happens up here, they're able to respond, and then they'll pull teams from there in case something happens. Our country just gave $1 billion to the country of Colombia. Well, I believe that money is going to be used, you know, not what it was intended for. It's going to be used for help and rescue, and on top of the money we gave, we're going to be sending down task force teams of these young guys, mainly from their 20, 25, you know, if they're really good, depending on what their technical skill is, because all of them have different technical skills. High-end rescue, building collapse is obviously what they're going down for, and body recovery and urban search and rescue, those are the things that they're going to be going down for. So anyway, just keep them in your prayers. Again, we don't need to dwell on, I just want to explain to you where I'm at, what's going on with me, where my thinking is, where my head is. And my head is straight for growth. Now, do I have one eye over here? It's not being double-minded either. Do I have one eye watching what's going on and able to do my work and then able to do my Father's will? Absolutely. So that's what I'm doing now. Now, the reason I'm late, normally it's at 7, and again, this is Florida Go to God Fellowship. My name is Van, V-A-N, last name Patterson, phone number 239-707-4903. Anybody who would like to jump on and come and learn and grow, just as I'm learning and growing, I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. The person that texts me today is no better than me, and I'm no better than him. We're all one body. We're all growing together, and depending on our free will. And again, we have to check ourselves to find out. And I don't mean like, oh, Father, you know, help me. No, I mean, you have to get mentally, right in reference, you know, check your heart, find out where your heart is. Kim always mentions about the heart. So, you know, and my heart right now is want to continue moving. So I'll tell you some, now these are little signs and little miracles for me, you know. In the midst of the stuff that going on, I go over Saturday to pick up my daughter, Gabriella. And I get a chance to see her working, which was an absolute joy as a father, okay? Now, when I enter the restaurant, it's a coffee shop called Residence in Gainesville. The first thing I notice is a young lady. I see my daughter behind the counter, and then there's a young lady ahead of me. She's fully dressed as a somebody from Jordan, as a Muslim young lady, with a hijab, or whatever you call it, that is. And so anyway, she's fully dressed like that. God instantly gave me wisdom and guidance, at least I believe anyway, to speak to her, to talk to her. I just generally said hello. And I'm learning to not do what I used to do, you know, these patterns, you know, and paradigms that I used to do. So I just said hello, just a general hello, and left it like that. And then she did her order. She went and sat down, and then I went and did my order. And, of course, my daughter, I go up, and she's asking me my order. Now, she knows what I want. She knows her father. You know, just like our father knows us, my daughter knows me. So I'm looking at her, and she's asking me about my order, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, what are you doing? Just get, you already know what I want. Just order it up. Okay? And now that's how we should be with our Father. Our Father knows the desires on our hearts. Okay? So, but you can go to Him, obviously, and tell Him deeper. That Habakkuk 2:2, writing it down and making it plain, okay, is huge. I don't completely grasp it. I'm gonna go. I did start it, and then this situation happened, or this circumstance. But all it is just a little bump in the road. That's all it is. Now, everybody has the opportunity to go to God first. Everybody has the opportunity to go ahead and seek their Heavenly Father's comfort and guidance and direction. Okay? That nobody needs me to do anything. Okay. Our Father will get someone else for anybody and everybody if I don't answer the message or answer the request from my heaven or the information my Father's given me to follow through on whatever He needs me to do. Okay. He definitely desires fellowship with us, and He definitely desires us to walk like our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus walked. So, back to the restaurant. So, I tell her, Gabrielle, what are you doing? Just get me my effing order, will you? You know, I didn't tell her that way because there's people around, but that's what I'm thinking inside my head. So she knows, she sees the, in my eyes that I want the order. Let's wrap this thing up. Let's go ahead and tap. Let's go ahead and give her a tip and let's move on. So after I did it, I immediately turned. And I had already gone to God, and I already kind of knew what was going to happen, but I waited, normally I would just rush in like a bull in a china shop, kind of like the circumstance and situation I just got myself in and God has extricated me from. Okay. So normally I would do that, but I didn't do that this time. I waited. And then I waited and I went to my Heavenly Father and he said, yeah, go sit down next to her. So I went down and I sat next to her, talking about the lady from Jordan. And I had no idea yet that she was from, I'm just telling you, this is the Muslim lady that was 25-year-old. And I go and I sit down next to her. We start having coffee. I introduce myself. I let her know that my daughter is over there. And, you know, I let her know, you know, I just spoke from the mouth of God. Bottom line. And she had come there because she was troubled. She came there because she had issues going on in her life. Now, nobody else showed up. God had just me and only me. But think of the timing. And the rabbis say there's no such thing as a coincidence. So I'm there to pick my daughter up. God provides a young lady, a 25-year-old young lady that needs help, maybe needs a seed planted, maybe needs some other stuff, and I'm there. So I sit down, we have a conversation, and she proceeds to pour her heart out to me, and I just listen, and, you know, I think I had 3 or 4 cups of coffee, so I'm wired. Okay, I'm absolutely wired. The coffee wasn't the best either. I didn't tell Gabriella that, but it definitely was not the best. I like the way we make it here. You know, more French vanilla, you know, more Splenda. And I normally don't even drink coffee. But anyway, having said that, I'm sitting there drinking coffee, one cup after the next, listening to this young lady. And I end up sharing with her, you know, and God gave her some of the answers that she needed. You know, she had a master's degree in some type of medical engineering to where she works for a company. She probably makes triple what I make, okay? She has triple the education that I have, okay? Well, what does she not have? She doesn't have the Spirit of God. Okay? I'm the one with that. Now, I'm offering her that. I'm letting her know that I'm a believer because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I let her know that, you know, that we're all one blood. In Acts 17:1, it says that. It doesn't matter where you're at or what color you look like. It doesn't matter. We all go through the same stuff. We all have the same emotions. We all have the same feelings. We all have similar stories. They might differentiate here and there in different ways. But I could identify, even though she was 25, I could identify with what she was going through. She was having trouble with her coworkers. She was being passed over, and people were leaving the company, and she wanted to stay home with mom and dad because it's free room and board. Okay, and she's making an absolute ton of money. Now, you have to realize the different cultures, too. In Latin America and South America, you know, family is a big deal. In the Middle Eastern countries, family is a big deal. In America, we're split up. I've got, I've got my son and some grandkids, and then I've got little Miss Gabriella, and other than that, that's it. I've got one cousin, I think I know where she's at. I got a couple other cousins on my mom's side, I know where they're at. Now, this is adopted side, okay? On the birth family side, I have one brother that I invited down for Thanksgiving. After 4 days, I threw him out of here, or he actually decided to leave. Very bad spiritual influence in the house. I never should have invited him down, but I did. You learn by the, you know, practicing these principles that we're doing, you know, And sometimes you can be too kind, too gentle, too nice. And that's exactly what I was with him. Well, there came a point where, you know, I had to tell him, stop doing what you're doing. Stop bringing up these things. We're not going to dwell on these things in my house. So I said, for my house, we're going to stay in the positive. We're going to stay thankful and grateful. We're not going to live in the past. Although I did want to know what had happened to them after I was taken and given up for adoption down at the Children's Home Society of Florida in Hialeah. And I was actually born in Hialeah. So, the birth mother was pregnant, and so that's why I say I was conceived in New Jersey and dropped off in Miami and Hialeah, actually, which is a really appropriate place to be to get dropped off at. So you talk about thankful, because again, like I told you guys, and I've mentioned it over and over, I would have ended up in New Jersey. They have a Rahway State Penitentiary. That's where I would have ended up. But in Miami, because of the situation and because of the times, because of the things that were going on, I did the things that I did and was able to escape a lot of the punishment. Now, it you know, eventually things catch up to you. I mean, that's just how life is. You people get away with stuff. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Whatever you sow in life, you reap. You know, so anyway, here I am talking to the lady, and she's absolutely amazing, young lady. She's going to be a great wife and a great mother one day to somebody. You know, you can just tell that culture is just, oh my gosh. I mean, it's just, it rests in the femininity of a woman. You know, it literally just, you can just see it. And, you know, even though I could be her grandfather, just looking at her, and seeing how other 25 or 28 or 30 or 35 year old young men would look at her, just because all men are really the same. We're all designed the same. Okay. I could go through it, but you know, some of you ladies are like, you know, and so but anyway, we're all designed the same. Trust me. Okay. Be fruitful and multiply. So, and that's the absolute last thing that goes in a man right before he falls asleep. So anyway, she's very, very attractive, okay? She wants to branch out, but she's afraid to. And so I just gave her the words that God gave me, okay? And when she left, I said, hey, if you'd like, you know, I can pray for you. And then I did what... has been showing me to do, and what I've been learning on this fellowship is to go to God first. And so, and also Danny, you know, Lawrence and Kim have raised, obviously he has Amber. There's no mistake about that. And I'm not trying to elevate Danny or Amber or Lawrence or Kim by any means, because again, they'll be the first ones to tell you that they're not anything special other than, you know, Lawrence is the man of God. I know a lot of people might cringe when I say that, or they might, I don't really care what you do, actually. I really don't. Because I know for sure that I'm placed here for this time and this moment, and I'm going to continue following. I'm going to continue, you know, where I'm being fed. I mean, today alone, I think there was 3 or 4 teachings coming out, you know, sharings. I mean, the word of God that we're getting from the man of God is absolutely, it's a buffet, okay? I had a little bit of a hard time getting to Lawrence. He was in the middle of doing things. So I said, you know what? I'm going to pursue the wife. I'm going after Tim. He's not going to be able to get away from me. I'm going to chase him down. You know, I'm going to follow him until I get the answers that I need to in order to grow in my life. I'm chasing the man of God down. Now, as I was mentioning about Danny, Danny's following his father's footsteps, as a good son is, but he's not just following him as a son, he's following him as the man of God. Okay? He sees, Danny recognizes, not because he's his father, Danny recognizes the spiritual nature of what's going on, that his father's been, because he's watched it his whole life. His father is there for a reason. His father is placed there to protect the body of Christ. That's the bottom line. And God has provided us someone that is very kind, very gentle, very tender. You know, almost so, you know, where I would like to tell him, hey, Lawrence, can you slap me upside the head and say, wake up, man, grow up, you know? And so anyway, so as Danny came to me when I was sitting there, and I said, hey, I'm going to pray for you. So, you know, and words have different meanings for different people in different cultures. She was so excited. Actually, Gabriella came over, and I started joking around with Gabriella. I you know, because I got up and I went over and I told Gabriella, I said, hey, Gabriella, I've already asked her out on a date. You know, just teasing her, right? Not letting her know. And so Gabriella was going like, oh, Dad, you did not do that. You did not tell me you did. Tell me you're joking. I said, Gabriella, I'm free. I can do whatever I want right now. Are you kidding me? And so I was pulling her chain. We have that thing over here. I was pulling her chain. Maybe it's a firehouse thing. I don't know. So I told her that's what I was doing. I told her that, you know, that I was either I was gonna or I already had. I forget what it was, what I told her. But it was all in good fun, just to get her wound up, you know. Now that's Father of the Year stuff there, okay? So I go sit back down, and I don't pray for her. I do what Danny told me to do in South Carolina about the guy that was pet sit for me. Danny said to me, Van, you don't have to, you know, don't even use the word. I forget exactly how he said it, because there was a lot of chaos going on up there. And everybody wants to talk about how South Carolina was a bad thing. No, 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 no. South Carolina was a good thing. You know why? Because the man of God needed to see where everybody was. Not that God didn't tell him already or give him a heads up. It was more of a confirmation and more of an in-depth look. Like, you know how you go to TV shows and you watch a documentary and it gives you, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. It gives you an in-depth look into people's lives. So we saw it. Just with a little bit of, you know, I did something down there that I certainly didn't mean to start anything. Somebody needed something. I transferred something to somebody, and people went crazy over it. Thankfully, I had enough going on that didn't even affect me. But unfortunately, and I apologize, it affected some of you ladies and some other people. And I'm sure the man of God, you know, so I apologize for that. And also apologize for this situation too, that you guys were involved. But you know, this is just life. This is how life is, you know, so the opportunity is to rise above. You know, the only time that we lose is when we don't get up. You know, and I'm fully up. I'm fully awake. I'm fully ready to go, to move forward, to watch God answer my prayers. So now, back to the lady. And, oh, by the way, her name was like Fatima or something like that. I can't say it correctly, but do you know what it meant? Here's what it meant in Arabic. And you guys have to look it up. What does this name mean? How do you pronounce it in Aramaic? She had it on a chain. Now this has happened to me once before during a similar situation where I needed something to be removed from me. God brought me a lady from Iran who spoke Farsi, and her name was Nassim, which meant summer breeze. And so it ended up just sweeping that situation out of my life, because now I'm focused on Nassim. Okay. She was stunning too, by the way. Nassim was absolutely stunning. Just like this little 25-year-old, by the way. Same thing. Okay. Absolutely stunning. Now, her name means joy. Now, you cannot make this up. Okay. What did I just get delivered from? Joy. I just got joy. I didn't have joy when I originally got on here. Now I'm laughing, giggling, having fun. Even in my office environment has changed. I'm telling people, follow me if you want the results that I'm going to get. You know, in other words, instead of letting the office run itself, I'm leading the office. Why? Because I've been taught by my leader, by the man of God, Lawrence, go ahead and, you know, he didn't use all these words that I'm using, but they're all words from God that God knew that I would understand, and that that's the reason the connection is huge. Okay, so again, I encourage you, connect. If you've got to do it three times a day, do it three times. But start off once. Connect. You want to grow? You really got to ask yourself this. Do you want to grow? Do you want to get out of the situation you're in? Do you want to move with God's, you want to move God's word? Maybe you just want to relax and just come to fellowship. That's fine. The man of God, I'm sure God's not going to throw anybody off here. Because like the last teaching he did, God is the one that's doing the cleaning, the pruning, the removing. He's the one doing that. We're not doing that. You know, now if we do that, you know, is that an imitator of our Father? But again, you know, at a certain point in time, you know, there comes a time when, you know, being kind and tender and gentle and loving and peaceful, you know, you're a pushover. You know, there comes a time when you have to put your foot down and say, okay, this is how it's going to be. You know, but obviously you've already gone to God and got those instructions, and then you do it. Danny's a perfect example. So Danny gave me the words, and again, he came to me in reference to what he had showed me in South Carolina in reference to my test center. So instead of praying for the lady, I commanded. That's what I did. I did exactly what Danny said to do. I commanded. Now, when I got done, this is after three and a half hours. Gabriella had come over three or four times and asked, is my father bothering you? She would say, oh, no, this is the best conversation I've had. I can't believe the conversation I have. Now, it's not because I'm good looking, which I am. It's not because I'm attractive, because I am. It's not because I'm handsome, because I am. It's none of that. It's the Spirit of God that's in me. That's what she was attracted to. She wasn't attracted to me for any other reason other than I had a light, okay? And that light I was giving her, and I was listening to her. And she was able to share her heart and unburden herself. And at the end of the conversation, you know, I knew her name right off the bat, so I knew I was in the right spot. You know, I knew that, okay, God had definitely guided me and directed me to her. So we sat there for 3.5 hours. Again, I was wired on coffee. I don't think I've ever been that wired. Not even doing drugs, I don't think I've ever been that wired. So I don't know what they put in the coffee, but it's some really wired coffee. So not tasting good wise. So at the end, I prayed and commanded. She said she had to leave. She had to go back. Again, super high degree, super intelligence, really into the Quran. And I commanded all the things. Now, why would I do that? Because I'm listening to my father. You know, so I planted a seed. So when she gets up, when she's there and I'm commanded, you know, things out of her life, I don't know what they are, but God's showing me what they are. And all the things I said, they brought tears to her eyes. I'm not even exactly sure what I said. God didn't possess me or anything, but I couldn't regurgitate what I said to her, what I commanded. But she had tears in her eyes. She was filled with her name, joy. And I kept going back to her. I kept saying, you know, I hate to sound like a parrot here, but, you know, what an absolute joy it is to speak to you, Joy. You know, and it was. God blessed me with her. Well, he wasn't done yet. So she gets up and leaves. She's in tears. She leaves. She got all the information that she needs from God, not from me. She got all the information she needs from God to go take action, you know, like things like praying for her boss, confessing positives, stop talking about the negatives, stop dwelling on the negatives, because they only expand in your mind when you dwell on them. Anything you dwell on expands. That's why we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's why we're to do that. We're to think, we're not to ruminate on those thoughts. We're not allow those thoughts to come in. And people used to say, just renew your mind. Renew your mind. And nobody would effing tell you, for me anyway, on how to do it. But again, so God's not done with me yet. So again, God blesses somebody there through me. Then he takes me over to the next store, because I'm there early because I want to see my daughter work, right? But I just spent 3.5 hours, and Gabriella's interrupting the ministering by coming over and saying, is my father bothering you? Is he bothering you? And then, of course, since she did that, I would go to her and say, hey, Gabriella, I'm going to ask her out. What do you think? She Gabriella said, are you out of your effing mind? Because obviously Gabriella knows the situation. So it was just all around funny. I was having fun. It was joyful. I would go to the restroom. I would walk by and get, hey, Gabriella, I'm going to ask her, you know about that music thing that I got going on? I mean, I got an extra ticket. I'm going to ask her to go. What do you think, Gabriella? Don't you dare do that, you know? So anyway, it was all just a teaser and get her ramped up. I did the same thing to my sister today. I never heard my sister cuss until today. Okay. So next, God takes me over to a comic book store. Now, I haven't been in a comic book store. I'm going to send the photos to Lawrence. I took photos. You walk in, and the very first thing I see is Dungeons and Dragons, and also these cards where you invite spirits in, you know, to talk to the dead. You know, that's, you know, our adversary, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to counterfeit everything. There's all these young people. Obviously, I'm the oldest person in the comic store. I'm not even really sure to call it. But there's like 6 or 7 locations. And I ended up walking around. I ended up getting 2 books, which I definitely wanted. I love books. And I love this author. And so I got those 2 books. I got some 2 figurines, which I had heard about anime from Gabriella when she was a young girl. Because I had walked by her room one night, and when she was sleeping as a young girl, I would walk by. Because because with her mother, I would isolate. You know, if you want to know how to isolate, hey, just give me a call. I'll let you know. I can tell you. I can walk you through step by step on how to isolate. It's not that difficult. So anyway, when I would walk by her, we had a 2-story house at the time. When I would walk by her room, I looked in and she was reading this book, an anime book, something either about eating your kidneys or eating a possum. I forget what the anime book was. We'll have to ask her and get that information. Hey, Gabriella, we'll have to get that information, and because I'm interested now to what it is. Hey, Gabriella, what was that book? When remember I walked by your bedroom and you were reading that anime book? What was that book called? What was it? I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. Fantastic. Oh, we're going to watch the anime tonight. You want to watch it? Afterwards? What's that? You don't want to start tonight? Yeah, one or two episodes, yeah. Okay, Miss Cranky, go on back into your room. It's okay. No, you're cranky. Trust me. When you want to share and let me know what's going on, let me know. I'm on a fellowship, yeah. Yeah. Look, I love you. Go back in the room. Have a nice little lay down, as the English would say. Have a little lie down. Whew. Okay, so it was, I Want to Eat Your Kidneys, I think she said. I already forgot what it was. But we're going to watch the anime tonight. So anyway, I go over there, and while I'm there, I run into all these different young people, okay? And I run into some things personally for me, okay? God shows me this poster, okay? And there's a great book, and it's called A Man of Velvet and a Man of Steel, okay? So he ends up showing me the poster. He shows me the book, the books that I wanted. He blessed me with those. I was able to get those. I was able to get some anime figurines, which I think are really cool, I've got. And then the poster was really why I knew I was there, along with, you know, speaking to some people and just getting kind of the lay of the land of what was going on spiritually. A lot of darkness. They had a little seminar or convention going in the back with about 50 to 45 to 50 young men. Four or five ladies were there. But there were so many families coming in with young kids, young children. And it was just amazing to me. See, everything in life is spiritual, you know. So that place there, again, nothing against the business at all. I enjoyed it. I purchased some things there, okay? I got a poster that blessed my life. But spiritually, it's dark. It's got all these different things that lead you away from our Heavenly Father. It had one of them about how many different gods there is. One of the books, you know. And of course, we know there's only one true God. So it's interesting to know these things and to see them, because, you know, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do, it says. And there's a scripture in Romans, I think. You guys will have to look it up. It talks about be all things to all men at all times. Obviously, I killed that quote. But again, so while I was there, God delivered me. And then, I mean, I am absolutely exhausted. I mean, I've got 2 hours of sleep. I'm wired on coffee. Okay. So Gabriella brings me back to her apartment. She says, Dad, you go ahead and just lay down and rest. Let me handle the cleaning up of the apartment. So I did. Now, normally I would want to get in there and start grabbing stuff like a bowl in the china shop and start moving out. Because I got pets at home, you know, they're waiting to get fed. I want to rush out of there because I think I have to do it my way. So I listened to my daughter, and I laid down and had a nice little two-hour nap, exactly what I needed, okay, to get me and continue moving again. So when she woke me up, she was ready, and she had everything in order. She had everything ready to be moved. And then from there, we proceeded to move everything out. We moved everything out and we got everything in. She's here and it's Monday. And then she's going to be leaving on the exact day when some wonderful people from England are going to be coming down. So I'm going to be heading that direction anyway. And so anyway, the synchronicity or the movement of our Heavenly Father could not be more perfect. And, I'm blown away. You know, they have different sayings over there, like, blew my cookies or whatever, or, you know, I forget what it is, but, you know, I'm in absolute awe and amazement at my Father's work and how I'm able to rest and watch him work, watch him go to work. Now, I have a lot of other things, and I could take my mind, and the fire service is called being in the wash. It's just a term between us that you use when you're in the wash, you're at a fire scene and there's a fire going on. There's a lot of chaos going on, but for you, you're inside the wash is a shortened term for washing machine. So you're in the washing machine, but you're in a confined space in that washing machine. And you're in control of your environment. Because you have to have your head on a swivel 360 degrees. And what does a washing machine do? It spins around. It's always looking. You know, not the washing machine, obviously, but that's just a metaphor. That's just how we talk. So when you're in the wash, you're watching everything that's going on. So I'm seeing all this stuff and God's loading me and giving me information, spiritual information on what's going on, okay, and what the lay of the land is and how things are going and things that I need to improve on, things that I need to work on. And so he's working with me on those areas. The question is how far do I desire to go with God? How far do I desire for him to work with me? How much do I want to know? How much do I want to grow? How much do I want to operate the Spirit of God? I want to operate it like the man of God is doing. I want to operate it like Danny's doing. That's what I want to do. So I'm pursuing. So much so today that the man of God didn't answer me. So what did I do? I chased down the woman of God, Kim. I started sending her stuff, texting her, joking around with her, and me and her had just a little nice little chat on the what's up. I think I also did Instagram with her once, or Facebook. I'm not even sure of all the technology, but I'm learning all the technology. Why? The man of God is using it. Okay, now he's using it. I'm following every single thing he does. He steps with his right foot first. I'm going to step with my right foot first. He leads with his left hand. I'm going to lead with my left hand. Okay? Because I know what he's doing. I see his heart. Okay? He's feeding us over here in the U.S. a banquet. We're being fed an absolute banquet of God's word. And I'll leave it at that. And you guys check your hearts. I'm checking mine because I'm absolutely embarrassed to be fed this way. It's being like you're spoon fed like a baby. And this is where I'm currently at. Obviously I'm not a baby, but I'm being spoon fed like a baby, but I'm rising up like a mighty man of valor. That's what God's doing for me. He's rising me up as a mighty man of valor to stand my ground like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. So like if someone comes to do what they did to Jesus Christ and we all turn the other cheek. Remember when they were going to throw him off a cliff? What did he do? What did God show him to do? Do you think Jesus Christ did that on his own? Remember, he said, I do everything that my Father tells me to do. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. What did he do? He was at the edge of the cliff or somewhere near there, and he ended up walking, parting, kind of like the sea got parted. All the men just got out of the way. I'm sure there was women there. They got out of the way, and he walked straight through them. No harm came to him. Why? Because he went to his heavenly Father, and that's what we're being taught. We're being spoon-fed. Okay, now it's time for us to, it's time for me to wake up. It's up to you what you guys want to do and how far you want to go. I desire to travel fast and hard and long with my Heavenly Father. You know, I desire to grow greatly. I desire to be like the man of God. I desire to be like Danny. Okay? Danny's a lot younger than me. I could say, oh, Danny, he's young. He don't know jack shit. He doesn't have the experience I have. No. Spiritually, I'm looking at Danny. Danny is rocking it. Danny is on fire for God. Okay? He is moving God's word. You know why? He's following his Father. Well, I'm right there with Danny. I'm following his Father. I'm following the man of God. That's what I'm going to do. And I encourage everyone on here who wants to grow. Do you want to grow? That's the question you got to ask yourselves. I do. Well, the proof's going to be in the fruit. Okay, where's my fruit? Okay, where is the fruit van? Okay, where is the laborer's van? Where are they at? Okay, they were supposed to come on here tonight. Nobody came on. Now, granted, I overslept. Could be my fault. Is that a possibility? Considering the situation, I would say, yeah, it could be my fault. But that's okay. There's no problem that you can get yourself in that God cannot rescue you out of. So anyway, I'll sign off with that. I love you guys. What a blessing it is to be a brother and sister with all of you guys. And watch how God works in all of our lives. Continue to go to him. Continue to follow the man of God. And it's Tuesday. I am so looking forward to tomorrow, and I'm going to watch some anime tonight with my wonderful daughter and be blessed. And just, I've never seen anime in my entire life. I want to eat your pancreas, I think is what it was. So I don't know if we're going to start off with that one, but we're going to start off with one of them, okay? So anyway, I don't want to eat y'all's pancreas, by the way. All I want to do is love you like a brother and sister in Christ, okay? So anyway, love you guys. Have a great night.